So I want you.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Pretty much research about anything you want to. Everything we do, we put up there, all the investigations. If you want to listen to a replay of this show, feel free to. They're all right there. And for you guys that are new to the show, call-in numbers, as always, are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you guys that are in the listening queue, as always, we thank you. But if you want to be heard on air, hit that number one so it's sent a little flag to let me know. Ed Martin will not be joining us tonight. As most people around these parts in Louisville, Kentucky know, today at 4 o'clock was the filing line for elections. And Ron Sider used to run the Libertarian Party in Kentucky and everything else. Went to China for a year for some kind of work or school thing. Anyway, he's been for a couple of years now, still been very involved in politics. And Ron Sider is a very good friend of Ed Martin and myself, the show, actually. So he is out supporting Ron at his announcement tonight that Ron will be running for the 40th State District Kentucky House. So he's out there showing Ron support. Good luck to Ron, and good luck to all the candidates, actually. So we'll kind of get into that. I believe our good friend Paul Holliger over at Stop It is planning on calling in here in a minute or two, and we're going to kind of discuss some of these races and what's going on with the Louisville and the state elections here in Kentucky. In the meantime, I do have some updates for you. Former public defender Karen Faulkner, 33 years old, yeah, you heard me right, 33 years old, just got out of the bar, admitted to the bar in 2005, less than 8 years ago. She's also an actress, in addition to being a private practice defense lawyer. And now she has decided that she wants to challenge Jefferson County Attorney Mike O'Connell for his seat this year. As we know, Mike O'Connell has been under fire by a lot of judges in the system. They're angry with Mike O'Connell because he dared to challenge them and ask them questions about their rulings on DUI cases. So Michael Connell actually lifted his ban against his assistant prosecutors running for office. Some of these judges now have competition. Well, I guess they decided to get together. That's the only thing I can figure. Why Karen Faulkner, at 33 years old, basically an actress lawyer? Hey, maybe it's the Ashley Judd effect. I don't know. But she's going to run against Michael Connell in the Democratic primary. So that's a new addition. We also have some late-breaking news that came from our good friend Paul Holliger over Stop It, who had called and confirmed that Greg Fisher will have an opponent for Louisville Metro Mayor. There will be a Republican opponent, if you want to call him that, folks. Bob DeVore. Bob DeVore has run for just about everything. Ran against John Yarmuth in the last election. The guy is a package handler or something at UPS. He's been running for office. Every time there's an election, his name is out there. So now he wants to try Louisville mayor. And the tragedy is that that's the best the Republicans could come up with. They couldn't find one person to challenge Greg Fisher for mayor of Louisville. Greg Fisher barely won 4 years ago when he fought Hal Heiner. Hal Heiner, of course, has decided that he is going to run for governor this year. So obviously, he can't do both, and good luck to Hal. But, you know, that in mind, doesn't make a lot of sense that they couldn't find somebody to take on Greg Fisher. You know, Greg Fisher does not have the base of support that his predecessor, Jerry Abramson, did. And he's done quite a bit to alienate just about everybody outside of the East End. So why we can't get a challenger for him is beyond me. There is a challenger for Michael Connell. And I'll be honest with you, we'll get into the complete list, or at least as complete as I can find it right now, because Bobby Coleslaw is slow about updating her list. Last time it was updated, it was 9:15 this morning. Every candidate, 4 o'clock was a deadline. It shouldn't take long to add a couple last-minute candidates to the list at the Jefferson County Clerk's Office. Apparently it does. So we'll get to that in a minute. In the meantime, Ford Motor Company has announced that they're going to make a significant, didn't give us a dollar amount, give us a significant investment in the Kentucky Truck Plant out on Chamberlain Lane. And according to, you know, Greg Fisher's spokesman, Chris Pointer, you know, it's supposedly going to create a nice number of new jobs, whatever that means. Essentially, Ford is going to go ahead and fulfill a commitment that they made to Louisville when they retooled the Louisville Assembly Plant on Fern Valley and started making all the switch here. Well, now they're going to make another significant investment in the Kentucky Truck Plant. What that means as far as money or jobs, apparently nobody wants to tell us. But there is a tour on Thursday and a press conference at the Chamberlain Lake KTP Truck Plant. You know, they'll have Joe Hines, Ford, President of the Americas. Of course, Steve will poke his nose in there, and Greg Fisher will as well, so they can act like they did something. Greg Fisher is in all kinds of trouble, as you guys know by now. If you've been following the stories over at LouisvillePolitics.com, Greg Fisher is in all kinds of trouble for lying about a former Ford employee, Jay Morgan, and costing him his job. And there's a whole bunch going on right now. Everybody's scared, including Kevin Cosby. And we hope to have an update on that in the next week or so. In the meantime, tonight, as everybody knows, is the President's annual State of the Union address. Yes, Barack Obama is going to go to Congress and talk to the nation and tell the whole world that he failed to deliver on any promise he's ever made. Like, that's going to happen, right? I tell you what I expect to happen based on what I'm seeing so far. Barack Obama isn't going to get to go to the State of the Union address tonight and tell you any of his failures. What he's going to do is he always does. He's going to blame somebody else. So what he's going to do is blame Congress for the failures, particularly congressional Republicans, and then he's going to sit there and outline how he's going to make things better by using executive privilege and executive orders to run his one-man dictatorship right here in the United States of America. Because that ultimately is all you're going to get out of the State of the Union address. Now, we're going to go off air on time tonight at 8 o'clock, but I want to see if I'm right. But I'm telling you right now, there's not one positive thing this president can talk about. He's going to try to talk about how great it is Obamacare. He's going to lie about the numbers. And so many other things are just unbelievably wrong right now. It will not get addressed in an honest, adult way. So we're looking forward to seeing him screw that up as well. We have other stories, another story coming out, and this one ought to break your heart, really. The Queen Elizabeth, yep, Queen Elizabeth, poor Queen Elizabeth, is basically down to her last £1 million. According to the New York Post, Queen Elizabeth's cash reserves, just about £1 million, around $1.6 million, and that's according to Parliament members, and they have ordered her staff and everybody else to tighten up the way they're spending their money. Can you imagine? I mean, really, can you imagine if the Queen of England, of all people, ran out of money and had to file bankruptcy? Can you imagine? I don't believe it'll happen. They're not going to allow that kind of embarrassment. But it's funny that we get this story today, because why not? Every American today is poorer than they were 5 years ago. 40% of Americans are making less today than they did 5 years ago. The number of unemployed and the number of everybody else is up about 7 million. I mean, it stinks right now. Nice to know that across the water they have the same problem, right? Let's go to the phone, because I believe our good friend Paul Holliger with Stop It is actually there. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Ed. Sorry there's only one Ed, because we all know that two Eds are better than one.
Yes. There you go. I tell you, I'm going through all these stories. Go ahead and tell me what's on your mind real quick before I get to these other ones, and then we'll get into elections.
Well, you were going down the road of candidates in Jefferson County, Kentucky, mm-hmm. and many of your listeners probably heard you mention that Jefferson County, Kentucky, it's primarily a Democrat-influenced county. We have mostly mm-hmm. Democrats in office.
Sure.
Although the county is geographically split kind of almost down the middle, where a large part of the eastern part of the county has a lot of Republican reps, but pretty much everything that's on the western and southern part of the county have Democrat reps. And
right.
So, you know, we talk about the polarization nationally. Well, Jefferson County, Kentucky has been polarized for quite some time by the two partisan groups. However, a couple of interesting partisan races that I want to briefly address. Number one, perhaps the most disgusting candidacy of all is the candidacy of a guy by the name of David Whitlock.
Oh, God, now, yes. We talked about him last night. Go ahead.
David Whitlock is running for city council in the 3rd District, running against the incumbent Mary Woolridge. Both of these folks are on the Democrat side. Well, David Whitlock is running because of a really strange quirk in Kentucky law that basically says that if you've not been convicted of a felony, you're eligible to be a candidate. Well, David Whitlock is a felon. He just doesn't have the conviction because he's a well-connected felon. He's been offered diversion not once but twice. And is
I want to make sure everybody knows. And let me point out to the readers real quick, too. You can go to edspringston.com, and on the search engine in the top left of the website, punch in David Whitlock, and that'll bring up everything you ever wanted to know about this clown, including pictures of his mugshot and everything else. You're absolutely right, Paul. Whitlock is a two-time loser. And more than that, really, I mean, the guy's been in diversion twice. The first time he got diversion was because he was a felon. They convicted him of a felony. They entered him into the diversion program for theft. He was stealing, and he got diversion for that. He was stealing from the government. He was stealing from ambulance services. There was all kinds of things about a restaurant he used to work at, stealing TVs out of there. None of that was actually proven, by the way. Well, it was, you know, but they wouldn't go on record, and they would not press charges. But the long story short, this was a few years ago, and now he just got off of his latest diversion last month, December of 2013. He was on a 2-year diversion for shooting an unarmed woman in a Walmart parking lot because he thought she was a shoplifter. Her name was Tammy Ortiz. Go ahead.
Well, Kentucky's entire way of doing what we do is just, it's just set up in a way to benefit the two-party system. And David Whitlock is nothing more than a common thief, but he's connected. He's a connected
right.
common thief, okay? And because he's connected, he's getting special treatment that any other party who violates the law and who doesn't have connections, they're going to get steamrollers. David Whitlock, on the other hand, has connections.
Well, there's no doubt about it.
His candidacy, Ed, makes a mockery of everything that this country stands for. However, it is what it is. He is living proof that our system is broken. It's broken. I don't care what any of the defenders of the status quo say. Our system is broken when you have laws on the books that basically says you can go out and commit multiple felonies and never be a felon.
Yep. Well, I don't disagree with you there.
There's something bad wrong with that.
Oh, I totally agree with you there. You know, it's just like Whitlock, and part of the broken program was that he could never work in law enforcement again. So that eliminated him running for constable and things like that, which he used to use the badge, and Mike Stevens and Cody Whitaker and a whole host of others. There's even a video I uploaded where these clowns actually shot what they thought was an empty shotgun round into the chest of Cody Whitaker while he was underage. And they laughed about it, thought it was funny because the market left. These are the idiots that they are, that David Whitlock is. But I tell you where his connections are. From what I understand, his biggest connection, and I mean that literally because they're both big boys, but from what I understand, his biggest connection is that he's related to Daryl Isaacs. Everybody in Louisville knows who Daryl Isaacs is. He runs all those crazy commercials, you know, the heavy hitter. And, you know, he's an ambulance chaser that does a lot of settlements but really never does any courtroom work. So, you know, that's his biggest connection. And Daryl Isaacs, of course, is very connected because he gives all kinds of money to political campaigns. So there's no doubt in my mind why David Whitlock's getting away with the things he does. But at least, you know, if that's his connection, and that's what I've been told, I have no reason to doubt it. You know, it's understandable what's going on. But, you know, when you say the system is broken, you know, and he's a direct example of that, I agree with you 100%. But I think we also have other examples of that. Because when I talk about a broken system, especially here in Louisville, Kentucky, I have to look at who has filed to run for office, but I also have to look at who has not. Because in the Louisville Metro Mayor's race, for example, Greg Fisher until today, and I told everybody the information I've gotten from you earlier, but Greg Fisher until today was the only candidate on the list. He's not going to face a primary, and the only person who had the guts to stand up to him was a nut job, but at least he had the guts to stand up by the name of Bob DeVore as a Republican. That hasn't shown up yet, by the way, on the candidate filings, but go ahead.
Yeah, the Jefferson County Clerk's Office has been updating their list of candidates, and their latest revision was good through today at 9:15 a.m. with a disclaimer that says anybody who files by close of business today, it'll be shown on the list by close of business tomorrow. So
right.
You have a lot of races that effectively only have one candidate. Metro Council districts, one has only one candidate on the Democrat side. We have Metro Council District 13, only one candidate on the Democrat side. 17, one candidate on the Republican side. 19, one candidate on the Republican side. 21, one candidate on the Democrat side. 23, one candidate on the Republican side. And 25, one candidate on the Democrat side. Now, Ed, why is it? Are the parties that lacking in coming up with candidates to run, or is the system so broken that the average Jane and Joe just say, why bother? I can't afford to go up against these entrenched, connected political types. So
the political class
definitely has a stranglehold on the political system.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think ultimately, you know, you just mentioned one of the key things here, money. You know, can't afford to go up against them. You know, I will tell you this, you know, it's not just financials that hurt a lot of people, because when I ran in 2006, you know, I was followed, I was harassed. You know, when I started doing stories after that election and I started the Louisville Politics and the Ed Springson websites, you know, I started getting, you know, death threats. I was offered money to be bought off to keep from stories getting out. stuff. You know, so there's a lot of things other than the money you have in your pocket. But what's fascinating to me is, you know, Greg Fisher, for example, you know, he got through a crowded Democratic primary last time. He barely won the mayor's race over Al Hunter, a Republican. I mean, it was not a slam dunk, a very, very close race. You know, it wasn't that until quite late, and even no one had the courage to stand up. When you look at District 1, Metro Council, and by the way, folks, if you're trying to figure out why, you know, Paul only mentioned the odd numbers with the Metro Council District, in this city, we do alternate elections. This year is the odd-numbered Metro Council districts. The next election for Metro Council will be the even numbers. So, you know, but you've got Attica Wood Scott in District 1, not well-liked, even by her own constituents. I mean, I have had her constituents, dozens of them, call me complaining about what an arrogant little communist wannabe she is. And yet nobody stood up to challenge her. You know, I just don't understand that. You know, I mean, I really don't. I know that there's other things that go on in people's lives, but go ahead.
Let me mention that we actually have an interesting set of laws related to our elections. And mm-hmm. I'm going to mention this, not wishing any harm on anyone, but this is just the reality of the Kentucky laws related to elections. And I'm going to use the 3rd U.S. Congressional District race as an example of the way Kentucky laws are written and how there is always a long-shot chance that an unconnected person could actually get elected, okay? And
right.
I say unconnected because, you know, these federal elections, it takes big money as a general rule to get your message out. And also because of the attention span of the electorate, they actually need to have, you know, a substantial campaign run in order to give the candidate credibility. But nonetheless, for those of your listeners who say, I'd like to get elected, but I don't have a lot of money and I'm not well connected, let me mention this particular long shot way of making it happen. And I think that this would also take care of a lot of these races in which there are no other candidates running against the incumbent. In the 3rd Congressional District, a guy who you know and a guy who I know by the name of Ray Pierce has entered to run against John Yarmuth in the Democrat primary. There is a Republican. There's only one Republican, but so the Republican will move on toward the fall. But my buddy Ray is clearly underfunded, no question about it. He's not going to get any serious media attention because it's John Yarmuth. You know, John Yarmuth's part of the political ruling class.
Right.
However, Kentucky law states, and again, I'm going to give this disclaimer again. I'm not wishing any harm on anybody, but Kentucky law states that in this race between Ray Pierce and John Yarmuth, if either of the candidates were to die between now and election day, primary election day, state law requires the Secretary of State to order the other one, the surviving one, be declared the candidate for the general election. Okay? So I'm telling folks that they ought to get in some of these races. If for no other reason that there always is a possibility that something may cause one of the other candidates to either drop out or if they happen to pass away, that will put them in a pretty good spot. Okay, and I think that would be kind of interesting to have a regular Jane or Joe in these seats and let them take care of everyone else in the district that aren't getting taken care of by the ruling elite. So Kentucky law has provisions in there, and I think, again, a long shot, get in the race, folks. You never know what's going to happen. You never know.
Well, you know, if I run for any more races in the future, I can promise you I'll be the guy that causes the heart attack, causes the death, but there's a lot of people that really don't want that to happen. You know, but, it's like I'm glad you mentioned Ray because Ray is one of those people who has the guts to stand up. He knows he's outfunded, but he's going to go out there, and Ray will hit the bricks, folks. Ray will go door to door. He will talk to everybody. He doesn't ignore anything. And I got a lot of respect for Ray. We've actually, you know, Ray is the president of Stop It. You're the operations manager of Stop It. So, you know, you guys are real close. But, you know, I actually hooked up with Ray and with you, I guess, back in 2006. It's been a long time now, man.
Let me run this by you, you and your listeners, because I have concentrated mostly on local and state races, but this is a federal race, so I don't have a lot of knowledge or experience in that. But the question came up today in my discussions with Ray. If John Yarmuth is offered any time, say, on the radio or the television, for whatever reason, or in the Courier, the newspaper for that matter, is Ray entitled to equal time because he is a federal candidate now?
You know, yes, he is. As a federal candidate, they cannot pick and choose. They have to allow equal time. You know, that's part of the media thing. And the other part is that they also can't charge him any different if he decides to spend any money on campaign ads or anything. So he is entitled to equal time. You cannot invite John Yarmuth on without inviting Ray Pierce for equal time.
Terry Vines invited John Yarmuth on today.
Ray needs to contact Terry Miners and demand equal time. He'll get it.
Now, also in the third race is Michael McFarlane, who's on the Republican side. He's a surgeon. So if Yarmuth was on Miners today, it seems like there's at least two other people who may be entitled to equal time on the radio.
I agree totally, and I'll actually reach out to both of them and let them know that, because they are entitled to that. If I bring John Yarmuth on my show and give him 5 minutes, they are entitled to the same 5 minutes. So, you know, that's just the way it is. And when you get into the federal election, locals are a little bit different than that. But on the federal side, it is pretty heavily regulated. You know, now, does that mean that they actually follow the script and do what they're supposed to by law? No. But then Ray and Dr. McFarlane can claim damages, and guess what? They'll get paid. I mean, that's just all there is to it. So you should definitely let Ray know that, and we need to let Dr. McFarland know that as well. And I'll take care of that. I'll make sure of that. You know,
okay.
But when you get into these, I'm in agreement with you. We have to have people running for office. I mean, not because they're waiting to see if somebody dies, but, you know, we do have to have people running for office. And that's the thing. That's what bothers me the most about this. Because if you look at, like, the Attica, Woodson Scott, Metro One, no competition at all. You know, I can't stand the fact that David Whitlock is allowed to run for anything. But at least you have a primary, even though there's no Republican challenger in District 3, which is disappointing. You get into District 5, you've got a three-way primary between Sherry Bryan Hamilton, Joan Stringer, and Keith Morgan. And, of course, you have a Republican, so they're going to have to fight all the way through to November, whoever wins that. And a Republican's name is John Owen. In the District 7, you've got two Republicans that will be squaring off in a primary. And that's Angela Leet and Sean Sloan. But Bruce Maples is the only Democratic candidate for Metro Council District 7. Bruce is somebody who's been around a long time and very up to speed on politics. So, you know, typically I would say he's probably going to win that race just because of the way it's situated. But, you know, you get into all these other things. But then you get into Metro Council District 9. Tina Ward-Pugh has owned that seat forever since we had a Metro Council, I guess. You know, but because she's not running again, now all of a sudden everybody wants to run for that seat and they're not scared. You've got, I think, 11 different Democrats running in a primary to get the nomination for Metro Council District 9. And when they get done with 12. That, then they'll face the only Republican, 12, okay. And then when they get done with that, they'll face the only Republican in the race, Laura Rice. You know, District 9 typically... I hate to say it, but typically District 9 is going to end up, you know, being a Democrat win that race. However, it is an interesting contrast because since you've got so many people running there, they're going to have to blow through their cash just to win the primary, and maybe that'll level out the field somewhat. Laura Rice, the Republican in that district. But, you know, it seems like that's the way it goes. If you're an incumbent, everybody's scared to run against you. But once you decide you're not going to run anymore, then all of a sudden there's 1,000 people that think they're qualified. And District 9
well,
is a great
that
example.
Is, but in that District 9 race, there's two notable entrants on the Democrat side. One is a former Jefferson County judge. I don't know if he was in circuit court or district court. He's decided he wants to be on the Metro Council, and I'm not sure why, because he was a judge, and I thought judges had a pretty good gig, but for whatever reason, he's running for the 9th District. And a former Jefferson County Public Schools school board member is mm-hmm. one of the candidates. And again, I kind of understand that, because the school board is not a particularly great job. You have a lot of grief and not a lot of money, and no one ever seems to be happy with any of the decisions that the school board makes. So I understand that person's candidacy. I am a little puzzled by the former judge's candidacy. And then we've got a fairness advocate running for that seat as well, at least somebody who's been on the fairness campaign here in Louisville.
We'll give the names.
And, well, the fairness candidate, I believe, is Chris Hartley. And I think you've actually had him on your show at one time. Okay.
Well, you're actually thinking of Chris Hartman.
Oh, Hartman, okay.
Yeah, Chris Hartman. He's the one that runs the Fairness Alliance. Great guy, by the way. Go ahead.
Okay. And then the district judge candidate is Jeffrey Morris, and the school board candidate is Steve Imhoff.
Right.
And then there's a ton of other people here who, again, going back to what you just said, where have these people been all these years in the 9th district?
It's not just the 9th district, but they're great representative of it. Go ahead.
But you know, the person of choice for the Democrats has been Tina Ward Pugh, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now that she's gotten out of the way, we have 12 Democrats that have decided now it's a good time to run.
Right.
You know, if they were good candidates before, why didn't they run then? So it makes a lot of these ones suspect, is that they're not as interested in taking care of the people of the 9th District as they are in taking care of their own particular little pocketbook. Because let's face it, Ed, Metro Council, while it is technically a part-time job, it's a $42,000 part-time job. Plus you get staff.
Well, it's actually $43,000
now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
It's a little over $43,000 now, but you're absolutely right. Plus you get the staff. The staff does all the work. You just attend meetings every now and then and go on about your way. You know, and the thing that's always drove me nuts about the way we had this Metro Council set up is the fact that we consider the Metro Council a part-time job. Name one part-timer in Louisville, Kentucky who's making $3,000 a year off that year. That's insulting to me. So, you know, and you throw in, you know, they get their own private slush funds. You got the neighborhood street funds that they use and everything else. They created all the funds for Judy Green and Barbara Shanklin. You know, these guys are spending, you know, up to $250,000 every year that they get to go buy votes with because they're elected Metro Council members. So
there
are a lot of inconsistencies here. That's it. There's a lot of inconsistencies here that don't make sense. We've got to take a quick break. For you guys that want to call in, once again, 858-683-1326. Or you can call us at 502-805-0334. And if you guys are on a listening queue, hit that number 1 on your dial pad, and we know you want air. You know, if you got an opinion about what's going on with these races or want to talk about that, just give us a buzz. We'd be more happy to hear from you. We'll be back. Listen to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Outlet. And welcome back, folks. We appreciate you being here. Welcome back to the Ed Springsteen Show on the MVM Radio Network, home of BlueBluePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com. And I tell you, you know, we're spending most of this hour, we're talking with Paul Holliger, the operations manager with Stop It, which stands for Stop Invisible Taxes. And we're kind of going over the races. And really, I mean, we're disappointed because we can't get anybody to run for office. It makes no sense. You know, so we're trying to figure this out. Go ahead.
It kind of does make sense if you buy into what I'm about to say, and this, what I'm about to say is not something of my invention. It is something from a person who a number of years ago was a political insider and actually knew what was going on with the power structure.
Right.
Several years ago, and I want to say this had been like 10 or 15 years ago, there was an agreement made between the local Democrats and the local Republicans as to how they could do, in essence, monopolize the Jefferson County elections, okay?
Right.
And the agreement involved them partitioning the county in half, mm-hmm. And the agreement involved the Democrats being allowed to basically run unopposed, or their candidates unopposed, in one part of the county, and then the Republicans being allowed to run basically unopposed in the other half of the county. And, you know, when you see candidate filings like the one on the Jefferson County Clerk's Office website today, I think that that agreement, if you say, that can't happen, I think that this particular filings kind of provide some degree of proof of that. For example, the agreement supposedly said that the East End and the Eastern Jefferson County was going to be Republican turf, and then the West End and a good part of the Southern Jefferson County was going to be Democrat turf. If you take a look at these filings, we have Attica Scott, Council mm-hmm. 1 on the West End, unopposed.
Right.
Mary Woolridge has got a joke candidate in David Whitlock in the third, which is the West End, and no Republicans have filed. Okay.
Right.
Down in the 13th district, which is south and a little bit of the southeast, there's one Democrat running and no Republican. In
yep.
the 17th, there's one Republican running and no one else. 19th, which in 17th and 19th are over on the east side. There's another Republican running and no Democrat. 21st is kind of south central, one Democrat running and no Republican.
Right.
23rd, southeast part of the county, one Republican, no Democrat. And then the 25th, which is on the, they call it the southwest, but it is probably as much west as it is south, there's one Democrat and no Republican. So majority of these races actually fit in with this whole idea that the county has been partitioned by the Democrats and Republicans. And of course, you and I both know, as do most of your listeners, Kentucky law favors and is actually set up to protect the Democrats and the Republicans. Every other party or any other individual, the odds are stacked way against them.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely right. Well, we talked about that last night a little bit with our good friend Kim Mulman, who runs the Libertarian Party in Kentucky. And it's interesting, too, because the districts that you mentioned, with the exception of Metro Council District 19, and the only reason that opted not to rerun for that seat because he ran for a state seat. So with the exception of District 19, every one of those districts, about 25, 23, 21, I mean, those other ones, they're all incumbent. They're all incumbents. Nobody would run against it. And just the way is that problem here. You know, if you want to move on to districts like Metro Council District,
Dave, you're cutting out real bad.
Why?
Dave, you're
cutting out real bad. Is that better?
No, most of what you said over the last minute has been lost. It's just chopped up.
Okay. Are we better now?
Try it.
I am trying.
Okay. Go ahead.
Are we back now?
You're still chopping. You're still being chopped.
strange. All right.
Like helicopters
anyway.
For real, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah. See that again. The actual Kennedy filings actually provide some degree of proof of that this agreement exists and has existed for quite some time. The 19 race that you mentioned, District 19, the incumbent decided not to run, but, oh, wait a minute, it was a Republican incumbent, and, oh, wait a minute, the only nominee is a Republican, and, oh, wait a minute, it's a former Kentucky legislator. So.
Well, I tell you, are you still having problems hearing me? Paul, are you there? Hello. Okay, let's do this the hard way. Paul, are you there? Hello.
Hey. Yeah, I am now. I think those black helicopters are in my neighborhood.
I just have to bypass Skype. Skype is having a problem right now. Skype is showing an internet connection problem, but the computer speed is showing fast. BTR is fine. So this is a Skype issue, I guess. So I just switched to a phone. I tell you, it's interesting because we continue going down this road. And, you know, when we look at this, we do know that the odds are stacked against anybody outside of there. And by the way, folks, if you're an independent and you're still interested in one of these races, you still got time to file. The parties can't file, but the independents do get a little bit longer to file. But, of course, then you have to go through the baggage if you're running for, you know, any like, say, a Metro Council District race or a state race or something. You're going to have between 100 and 5,000 signatures just to qualify for the ballot versus two for the parties. And that's really the biggest issue, isn't it, Paul?
Well, as far as ballot, getting on the ballot, the rules, the state law is actually biased in favor of the Republicans and the Democrats. Everybody else can basically go to hell and if they want to be a candidate because it is not an even playing field. It never has been an even playing field.
Right.
We were talking about Ray Pierce a little earlier. He was asking some friends of his at one of the food establishments that he likes to frequent if they knew how much his filing fee was to run for Congress. And a number of people at the table said $50. $50.
Right.
He said, no, it's 10 times that amount. It's $500.
Yep.
$500. So the political class have got the money to do that. You know, the average Jane and Joe, they don't have $500 necessarily. Okay. And I'm not sure that they can get it. And even if they did, it's an uphill battle. You mentioned independence, which is one of my favorite topics because I am an independent.
Right.
Independents have got to get more signatures to get on the ballot, and the number of signatures is contingent upon the race that they run. Number two, independents are not allowed to work at the polls by the local election board unless one of the two parties selects them.
Right.
Selects them. Bobby Hoskall has gone around for years advertising, come work the polls, come work the polls, come work the polls. We need workers, we need workers. However, those workers that are not a Democrat and not a Republican are put on a list and sent to party headquarters, and then the parties will decide if that particular person is allowed to work at the polls. Okay? So
yep.
They've got a stranglehold on the way we do things, and my contention that the system is broke, I think, again, there's ample evidence out there. If anyone who is skeptical or doesn't trust their gut, because I think, Ed, most people know at their gut level that things are broken. They are broken. And I think in many cases they are broken beyond repair.
Well, and I would agree with you there because they really are broken beyond repair. You know, and it's interesting because – you know, when we look at the situation with the incumbents that we just talked about a second ago, you know, they're broken beyond repair because people have essentially given up. I mean, would you agree with that? I mean, that is
yes,
really
I would. Yes, I would. And I tell you why I think that your point of view on that is spot on, and that is the political class has crafted all of these rules, regs, and laws to benefit them and their friends. All right.
Right.
Also as part of the crafting, in order to maintain their power, they make sure that anyone else has to jump through lots of hoops and mm-hmm. doesn't become a serious threat to them. So, and as a result of that, Ed, you know, the average Jane and the average John who are out there trying to live their life as uncluttered as possible, as free from government interference as possible,
mm-hmm.
keep running into government interference. Keep running.
You're exactly
right. Give you a great example. Here, we've seen in the last couple of days a lot of local news stories about this, the Ohio River Bridges Commission, talking to a number of different vendors on
right.
who is going to provide the equipment for the tolls that are going to be imposed on what is now toll-free bridges. And they're saying, they're looking at, I think they said five or six different companies, and they're talking about a transponder versus a little decal with the barcode that you put on your windshield.
Right.
And the people who are in charge of that are not likely to have to suffer from that. But the rest of us who have to go out and cross the bridge to make our daily bread so that we and our family can survive, we're going to be stuck with that, okay? If somebody's traveling from Tennessee over these same bridges and heading to Chicago, are they going to pay that toll?
Well,
I don't know
not.
The answer to that question. Do you? I don't think they are either. I don't think they're going to pay that toll.
I mean, I wouldn't pay it either.
I don't think they're
going to
pay that toll.
And remember, the people who brought this idiocy to us are the incumbents that are facing no competition. And I don't think that that's because the people in Louisville are happy because of their decisions with tolls or bridges or the KFC Yum Center or any other crap that they've done in this town over the last few years. They have just become so disenfranchised that they really don't care. And I tell you,
They're in survival mode. They're trying their best just to keep afloat. And the people in the upper middle class, they're the ones that actually have some stuff to show. But they're out there working their asses off. They're putting in overtime. If they're salary, they're doing 70-hour weeks just to keep their
right.
job, for God's sakes. Now,
right.
it's not the America that was designed, okay? That's the America that's been perverted.
Oh, I agree with you. That's not the America that we were intended to be. You know, and it really all comes down to elections, because that's the one thing that I get upset about, is because we don't seem to have anybody that really cares anymore. The ones who run for office now are only interested in themselves. And I tell you, a lot of that problem for me is because we don't have term limits. We're overpaying, and they're under-delivering. When you're paying in Congress, you know, a couple hundred thousand a year, you're paying a president, you know, almost half a million a year, and you're paying, you know, your Metro Council people here in Louisville, 40 plus a year, you know, and really, if you think about it, you know, all that is free money to them because they've got their expense accounts to pay for every daggone thing they do. They don't pay for anything. None of them do. You know, and
no,
it's ridiculous to me.
Let's emphasize that. The political ruling class, they are, for
yep.
the most part, when they get in power, they are not using their money or assets.
Agreed.
Okay. And they're using stuff that they forcibly take from everyone else, and then they regurgitate it by saying, we're doing this for your own good.
Oh, yeah. And over time, people have dumbed down and actually started believing it or just gave up on it. You know, but I do want to get into some of these other races real quick before we run out of time, because I want to talk about District 11 Metro Council here as well, Paul. Kevin Kramer is the current incumbent. He's a Republican in District 11, and typically that would stay Republican race. But, you know, we mentioned a minute ago Steve Imhoff, a former Jefferson County Board Jefferson County Board of Education member. Well, Kevin Kramer is one person that's been targeted by the Democrats. They want that seat because they don't like Kramer. Kramer actually stands up. And so they put Larry Hujo. For anybody who don't know who Larry Hujo is, You know, he's running as a Democrat. He is a big union guy who's been involved with the union for many, many years, and one of the leaders in the union, and also a former Jefferson County Board of Education member. So, you know, Kevin Cramer might have his hands tied with that one as well. It's going to be an interesting race to watch. But Larry Hujo is dumber than rocks, in my opinion. But he's a Democrat, and they want to make sure Cramer has a challenge. And that's the thing. You know, they at least put up a challenger. You know, and that's what amazes me with this. Go ahead.
Larry Hujo, he's basically from the union thug mold. Okay,
he's kind of
an old school union thug type person, and his primary function on the Jefferson County School Board was to make sure that the Jefferson County Teachers Association was protected at every twist and turn. Okay.
Yep.
And he did do that. He did protect the Jefferson County Teachers Association in a number of different ways over a very long period of time. Okay. So
right.
I'm not really sorry to see him off the Jefferson County School Board, but remember, his departure has been recent, and one has to wonder if his Democrat handlers didn't say, hey, Larry, it's time for you to run for a $43,000 a year job.
I'm sure the conversation went, because I am a union man. I was in the union for many, many years, and I'm sure the conversation went, okay, we don't like Kevin Cramer. He's the one fighting us on labor policies. He's the one fighting the Jefferson County Board of Education. Larry, you've got the name recognition. We'll give you all the union money, all the union support, all the union backing. We'll do the campaigning for you. Put your name out there, and we're going to try to buy you this race. That's how it went. There's no doubt in my mind. You know. And then we get into District 15, Paul. We've got Marianne Butler incumbent. But interestingly enough, behind the scenes, and I'll tell you this, Marianne Butler made a few people angry that she probably should have made angry last year. So now Marianne Butler is facing a three-way race in a Democratic primary for Metro Council District 15 against a guy by the name of Blake Oliver and Kalila Collins.
Let me tell you how this is going to work out, because we've seen this particular tactic, and this is a tactic. We've seen this tactic used a lot here in Jefferson County, Kentucky. In this particular case, these other two, at least one of these other two candidates is simply meant to be a vote splitter, thereby all but guaranteeing Marianne Butler's renomination for that seat. Okay, and since there's no Republicans as of right now, that pretty much assures that she gets reelected for that seat. So the fact that if it was only one Democrat in there, Ed, I would say that's a legitimate candidate, a legitimate opposition to Marianne Butler. But since there's two, one of these two is in there simply for the purpose of siphoning votes away from the other challenger. The Democrats in Jefferson County have used that tactic, and I might add, successfully for many, many years.
Well, they really have. And I tell you honestly, Blake Oliver was the first one to sign to go against Marianne Butler, and did that at the beginning of the month, the beginning of January. And Kalila Collins was just added less than a week ago. So I'm pretty sure I know who the vote splitter is supposed to be there. Then, of course, we've got Glenn Stuckel in District 17, unopposed incumbent.
Go back to
Glenn
Stuckel for a minute. There's a couple of things about Glenn that I know, and they're not necessarily bad, but they're indicative of how corrupted our political system is. Glenn is I've met Glenn a number of times. He's a pretty good guy, okay? He's a member of the Greater Louisville Association of Realtors. He's also a Mason. Okay,
right.
He's also a Mason, and he's been well connected for quite a number of years. Glenn has got, I think, he knows more people than God at times. So
right.
I'm sure that part of the reason Glenn is continuing to be a candidate for that 17th district is because he is well connected, and I think that also suggests that the people in 17 don't want to go up against him because they believe he is basically unbeatable. That's why there's no Democrat over there, Ed. Okay?
I agree with you.
So,
again,
it is part of the, I think I've heard a term called a duopoly, and I think that's the term that Ken Mullman uses. And you call it something else.
I call it the Uniparty. Go ahead.
The Uniparty. And I think Glenn is clearly, no matter how good a guy he is, he's part of the Uniparty. He's part of the ruling class. they're part of the ruling class. And so that's why there's no race in the 17th.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. And I tell you, speaking of ruling class, Metro Council District 19, we touched on a minute ago because Jerry Miller gave up that seat as the incumbent to run for a state office. Ironically, Julie Denton, and you talk about ruling class, and we're going to get into a
ruling
whole
class.
Lot of her
another
messes.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking about her.
Ruling class entrance.
You betcha. But she's giving up a state job to come back to the Louisville Metro Council. And there's a reason for that, folks, because the state representative gets paid about half what a part-time Metro Council representative does, and Julie's getting ready to retire, so she just wanted that job so she could pad her pension and make us even broker and get a higher pension. Then you get into District 21 with Dan Johnson. What's been said, what can't be said about Dan Johnson? And yet he has no opponent. James Peden, Republican in Metro Council District 23, no opponent. David Yates, Metro Council District 25.
Well,
this one actually surprised me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Back up here. 21, 23, and 25 are good examples. They are good examples. Well, actually, 17, 19, 21, 23, and 25 are really good examples of this supposed agreement that the Democrats and Republicans made, you know, quite a while ago, and that is they've partitioned the county. Stuckel and Denton and Peden are either east or southeast. Dan Johnson and David Yates in 21 and 25 are either west, southwest, or southwest, or south central.
Right.
I mean, they're again, it's frustrating to me that the Democrats and the Republicans in Jefferson County have this power-sharing agreement.
Oh, I agree with you totally. And it's fascinating, too, especially when you look at David Yates, because we do know that District 25 can go Republican, because Doug Hawkins was a Metro Council representative there until the last election. But it was interesting to see that Doug Hawkins and nobody else stood up to take on David Yates in 25. I tell you,
well, Doug
folks.
Hawkins, but before you go off,
go ahead.
Doug Hawkins basically did his candidacy on his own out of his own pocket. He did not get much help from the Jefferson County Republican Party.
He did not.
And then when he was on the Metro Council, he was a lightning rod for some of the things that he did. And again, I think some of the things that he did were in some cases way over the top. But and he hurt himself. He hurt his credibility a lot by doing some.
Well,
of
you know,
things.
Though, but Doug could make things happen too. If you remember an MSD meeting that we had with Bud Chardin and everything else over the wastewater plant and all the other stuff back in the Southwest Government Center, that place was packed out the door, and a lot of that reason was because of the efforts of folks like you and Ray, me, Chris Steeneman, and Doug Hawkins. Doug blasted,
hey, Doug Hawkins.
Did robocalls, and it definitely
out.
Worked.
Yeah.
Doug could definitely
do
that.
Got the word out.
But I tell you, speaking of getting the word out, I'm out of words, man. We've got to wrap this. State of the Union is going to start, and I'm going to try my best to watch it without getting angry or falling asleep. So, as always, Paul, thank you so much for your time. Final thoughts.
Keep a barf bag handy, buddy. Keep a barf bag handy if you're going to watch the State of the Union, okay?
I will, man. I will. Thank you so much for joining in. And, folks, that's
okay.
A wrap for tonight. Don't forget tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with Dale the Truth right here. We'll be here together. I'm sure we'll be discussing the State of the Union address and any other late-breaking candidates announcing for office. And I tell you, with that in mind, you know, have a great night. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.